possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. This evening I would like to continue with the thoughts that we spoke on from our communion service Sunday night on the subject of love is the life of God expressed. But tonight we're going to focus on the subject in another way. We're going to look at this great event that Brother Branham spoke of from the spoken word is original seed. And therefore, to begin with, I'm going to read from paragraph 201, 202. Sarah, just one. From paragraph 201, Brother Branham said, Billy Graham may preach everywhere. Oral Roberts, them godly men, may preach everywhere. The Lord may send me to sow seeds somewhere else, some field, but I believe our nation is sowed down, and I believe she's ready for the harvest now. When the Spirit falls and there becomes a move amongst the people, them denominations will swing together just as certain as I'm standing in the pulpit, and the Church of God will be ousted, and they'll make it such a racket until they'll confederate it and put a boycott on anybody that don't belong to them. Rome will rule the world for just an hour. She'll rule for a little peace. Not communism, Romanism will rule the world with the cooperation of the Protestantism in a denominational form of church which God has rejected. That's as close as I know the Word of God. I love you, and I appreciate you. Maybe I'll be back about Sunday a week. I'm going down to Florida now, the Lord willing, down in Georgia for tomorrow night. I got a few little meetings scattered around if the Lord leads. I've got a book full of them as that Brother Roberson or Brother Borders sent me the other day. I guess there's places where there's 30 or 40 churches are willing to cooperate, but the Spirit seems to hold me. I don't know why. So you pray for me and I'll pray for you that together may we stand. God help us, and may there not be one of you that here that'll ever fail and will miss that great time that's coming. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we see the perplexity of times, Lord, that Brother Branham not knowing where to go, but believing, Lord, that we're coming to a great time. And Lord, we just ask you to help us, as he said, that I pray that not a one of you will fail to be there. And so, Lord, may we all just truly in our hearts be ready for that time, for that great time that's coming. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we need to know what this great time that is coming is. For us to have a better understanding of why Brother Branham said that we need to keep our focus on the moving of the Spirit, that we might never fail. Now, from his letter describing his translation to the other side, we hear Brother Neville read it to the people from beyond the curtain of time. Brother Neville, as he reads, he says, as I begin to move from that beautiful, joyful place, as far as my eyes could see, people were coming towards me to embrace me and crying, my precious brother. Suddenly I was on my back again, and I said, oh God, help me. Never let me compromise with the Word. Let me stay straight on the Word. I don't care what anybody else does, Lord. Let me press on to that beautiful, joyful place. I am more convinced than ever in my life that it will take perfect love to enter that place. There was no jealousy, no tiredness, no sickness, no old age, no death, only supreme beauty and joy. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, lay aside everything else until you get perfect love. Get to where you can love everybody, even every enemy. No matter if the plane is rocking, if the lightning is flashing, or the guns of the enemy are upon you, these things do not matter. Get perfect love. If you're not saved, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior now. If you have not been baptized in water, be baptized now. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receive it now. Press on in that perfect love, which will take you to that beautiful and joyful place beyond the curtain of time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And Brother Neville finishes reading the article about the vision from the businessman's voice. Again, from beyond the curtain of time, Brother Neville continues reading. He says, after this, Hope, my first wife, hugged me and said, my precious brother. Then another woman hugged me, and Hope turned and hugged the young woman. And I said, I don't understand this. This is something entirely different from our human notions. I don't want to go back to that old body on the bed, then a voice spoke to me and said, this is what you preached that the Holy Spirit is. This is perfect love. Nothing can enter here without it. So we have several places in this Beyond the Curtain of Time, and I'm going to read some other places tonight as well, that Brother Branham is talking about that place where he went, and he said, you can't get there without perfect love. And notice he says, there was no jealousy there, and no tiredness. You know, what makes a person tired, I think, is when it just seems like there's no hope. Things are just kind of going in a way that doesn't seem like, you know, it's your desire. I mean, look, put it this way, when everything's going your way, you've got boundless energy. But when things don't seem to be going your way, that's when you get tired. You get wore out. You just apathetic. And he says, there was no jealousy there, no tiredness, no sickness, no old age, no death, only supreme beauty and joy. Whatever you do, lay aside everything until you get perfect love. Get to where you can love everybody, even your enemy. No matter if the plane is rocking. What does that mean? Hey, I've been in a plane one time that the wings were 12 feet, 6 feet up, 6 feet down. It looked like a bird going through a big storm. Big jumbo jet. No matter if the plane is rocking. It's like when those geese hit on the takeoff. And Christina reached over and grabbed my hand. She said, Dad, I never knew what it would be like to die. The windows were all aflame. So four windows, there was fire coming from the engine right next to their seat where they're sitting in, and her and Elizabeth. And I said, we're not going to die. It's just every time, you know, the Lord sends me someplace, the devil's there to try to stop it. But I said, we'll get there. It's just to test us, you know. And anyway, so, and he said, no matter if the plane is rocking, the lightning is flashing, or the guns of the enemy are upon you, these things don't matter. They don't matter. What matters is getting perfect love. That should be our focus. That should be our desire. That should be our entire ambition. Again, from Ephesian Church Age, Brother Branham said, Christianity at Ephesus was where the Jews lived at Ephesus, and it was founded about AD 53 or 55. Christianity was planted there by St. Paul. Later, St. Paul spent 3 years at Ephesus. Paul's teaching bore great influence to the believers at Ephesus. Next, Timothy was the first bishop of the church at Ephesus, and Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. In Paul's time, it was a great church. Ephesus means, the very name Ephesus means, let go, relax, or backslidden. Called by God, the backslidden church. And remember, Brother Ramsey said, there's got to be another Ephesus. Now, God acknowledged first their works, their labor, and their patience. God rebuked their living, leaving their first love for backsliding and for no longer bearing light. Ephesus was not a deceived church. It failed itself by not continuing in perfect love. Is that not where the church is at today? It's not that they don't have revelation. It's not that they don't have doctrine. They just don't have perfect love. And from that time, Brother Branham said, just remember, I'll say this, with the faith that I have in that vision, whatever it was, I'll speak in the name of the Lord, except you have that perfect love, you'll never be there. Because nothing could ever be there without it. Your spirit would be out of place there. Wow. It couldn't come. There'd be no way for it to come. No more than it would be for a grain of corn to raise up out of the ground without a germ of life in it. No matter how natural it would look, it could not raise. My friends, you old people, you young people, you don't know what time that you're going to leave. We don't know that. But let me persuade you as Christian brother, that one that loves you, except you are born again and the Spirit of God of love comes into your heart, you'll certainly miss that place. Now let me ask you, if God has given favor between us, and you believe me, I'm honest, what happened? I don't know. But God in heaven, who's omnipotent or omnipresent, is here now. And when I leave this world, Heavenly Father, please let me rest in there until Jesus comes. That'll be reward enough for me if I can just rest at that place till I see Him come. And from the adoption or placing. Now it's interesting because this is the message, the adoption or placing. Brother Brown was trying to tell us how to get to that place. And he said, it's been so much to me since that happened to me. I don't know. When I think there, when I stood there for those few joyful moments and thought, there's no tomorrow. There was no yesterday. There's no sickness. There's no sorrow. There's no little bit of happiness than a whole lot of happiness. It's all happiness. Oh my, oh my. When I stood there and I said, what is this? And that voice said, this is perfect love. And everything that you have ever loved and everything that ever loved you is here with you now. And you'll present us to the Lord Jesus when he comes as trophies of your ministry. And I've seen those beautiful women standing there all grabbing me and screaming, my precious darling brother. And seen those men with that shaggy hair around their neck running, grabbing me and saying, our darling brother. And I thought, what does this mean? He said, they're your people. And I said, my people? There couldn't be that many Branhams. There's millions. He said, they're your converts. Hallelujah. They are your converts. They're the ones that said, you see that one standing there? The most beautiful woman I ever saw. Said, she was she was past 90 years old when you led her to God. No wonder she's crying, my precious, or my darling brother. Said, she'll never be old no more. She's passed from that. She's in the splendor of youth. She's standing here. She can't drink a cold drink of water. She don't need it. She can't lay down and sleep because she don't get tired. There's no tomorrow, no yesterday, nor nothing. We're in eternity now. But some glorious day the Son of God shall come, and you will be judged according to the word that you preached to them. Oh, brother, and I said, will Paul have to bring his group? Yes, sir. I said, I preached it just exactly like Paul said it. I never divvied. I never took it into any church creeds or anything else. I stayed the same. And all of them screamed with one accord, we know that, we're resting with assurance, and said, you will present us to him, and then we'll all go back to earth again to live forever. Oh my. Again from Placing of Sons, paragraph 51. I said, oh Lord, that's what I'm here at the church for, trying to set the church in order, telling you brothers and sisters, there's only one thing that can enter that's perfect love. Not because you're loyal to the Branham Tabernacle or the Methodist Church or Baptist Church. Them is all right. You should be. But, oh, friends, you've got not because you spoke in tongues or danced in the Spirit, because you cast out devils or moved mountains with faith. That's all right. For that's all right. But still, unless that real perfect love is there, and that was where perfect love was. And, again, from paragraph 53, he says, thus saith the Lord. Now you have it. It'll take perfect love to put you in that place, for that's all there was there. No matter how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done, or whatever you've done, that won't count nothing in that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, you lay aside everything else until you are just so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you. I'm just, as I said this morning, I was made, my whole makeup is grace. A lot of people say, now, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Yeah, you do something for me and I'll do something for you. That's not grace. Grace is if your back is itching, I'll scratch it anyhow. Whether you scratch mine or not. Whether you slap me on the face and say, my back needs itching, needs scratching, I'll scratch it, see? That's it. Do something. I don't believe in works. I believe that works is love. Works is the manifestation that grace is taking place. I don't live true to my wife because I believe that she'd divorce me if I didn't. I live true to her because I love her. And from the message, love, he said, as he rushed out on the platform, I didn't know him. And he let out a great big scream and set his teeth together and his eyes pushed back and stared, walking up at me and said, you hypocrite, you snake in the grass. He said, upon this platform, posing yourself as a servant of God, you're nothing but a hypocrite. And everyone kept still. About that time, two little policemen that I had led to Christ back in the dressing room run out to grab him. And I noticed, and I motioned to them, and I said, this is not a flesh and blood affair. But the strange thing was that when the man went up there, I wasn't afraid. Now, perfect love casts out fear. And that's the reason people won't take God at his word for healing. They don't love him well enough. Because you're scared he won't keep his word. That's the reason people fear somebody else. Will say something against them if they receive the Holy Spirit. They're afraid somebody will laugh and make fun, but when love comes in, oh my. I'm going to look at some attributes again tonight. We looked at them Sunday night. I'm going to look at some more attributes of love. Number one, we're going to focus on perfect love, how it casts out fear. In 1 John 4, verse 18, we have this promise. There is no fear in love. Not even a little teeny bit. There is no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed because there's a desire in your heart for something and you don't see that thing happening? And the devil gets on your back and he says, well, he gives you some reason why God's not going to do it for you. Right? You know what? That's nothing but a lie from the devil. Jesus said, what son asking for a fish, his father would give him a stone or a snake? What son asking for bread, his father would give him a stone? He says, you have not because you ask not. Ask abundantly and believing. Because James said, if you go to God and you waver in your faith, you're not going to get it. You got to start like the blind man. Brother Brown said, you start confessing that you're healed. And he went out there and he said, praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. Totally blind as a bat. Praise God, I'm healed. Extra, extra. You know, he was a newsboy. Extra, extra. You know, I got healed. I'm healed. And he confessed that for 2 weeks. People laughing at him. And one day, sitting in the barber chair, his eyes came open. You've got to believe it to receive it. Can we all say that? Let's say it after me. I've got to believe it,
to
receive it.
To receive it.
Let's say it one more time. I've got to believe it to receive it. Then you just start repeating it over and over and over. And here's one that I want you to always repeat. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are thee called according to His purpose. It's going to work out. You just love God. Look, if you know that God loves you, and you know how we know He loves us? Because we love Him. It says we love Him because He first loved us. We know that He loved us because He sent His Son to die for us. So why would God give you a snake if you asked for a fish? Why would He give you a dime if you asked for a silver dollar? From divine love and sovereign grace, Brother Ram said, and now I'm a conservationist and a wildlife and so forth and dealt with wildlife. My mother's a half Cherokee Indian and I just love the wild. So till I study God, my first study of God was through nature, watching what He did in nature, how He watches and what He does. And there's one of the greatest hindrances that there is in the church today and right here in Edmonton I didn't mean to say it like that, but I mean Prince Albert and among other people, everywhere is fear. But love, perfect love, casts out fear. So, and the reason that you're fearful is because the right temperance of love has never entered yet. There it is. When there's real love, all fear passes away when you really love the Lord. So if you have fear that God is not going to answer your prayer or the desire of your heart, it's because you really don't have the right love for God in your heart. So you need to get that. From love, he said, we put so much stress on the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The Methodist said, you've got to shout for it to get it. A lot of Methodists shouted and didn't have it. The Pentecostals said, speak with tongues, then you get it. A lot of them spoke in tongues and didn't have it. That's right. But brother, when you come to a place where you got love, it never will fail. That's right. If my wife trusted me because I give her $10 every time I left, well, brother, that wouldn't be very much of a sign that I loved her. She probably would have been pretty rich. He left a lot. He had to because God called him on the circuit. But he said, but he said that wouldn't be very much of a sign that I loved her. I'd be right or true. But when she knows that I love her, when I know that she loves me, then there's a perfect trust between each other. No worry at that. Then when you got perfect love of God in your heart, you don't question God about anything. Don't question God about it. Just say, God, I'm believing that you're going to do it for me. And I thank you. I'm thanking you in advance. No worry at all. When the Bible said, I'm the Lord that heals all thy diseases, you say, amen, Lord. That's right. That's me. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high. That was me, Lord. And from the book of Exodus, Brother Ram said, if If he's Almighty God, he does all things. If he can't do all things, he's not Almighty God. So I believe him to be Almighty God. So I commit myself to him, my soul to him, my body to him, my living to him, my breathing to him, my dying to him, my resurrection to him, and some glorious day he will come. But while he's in the coming and his church is in the making, I want to stand in the breach with my arms out and claim his resurrected power, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his power has never ceased and never will fail. He's the same all the way around. Amen. I love him, and I want you to love him. I want you to believe him. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you love him with the right kind of a heart, you won't have one speck of fear whether you keep his word or not. Amen. And from expectations, I'm reading several quotes here, and then we're going to get into the scriptures. From expectations and what is love, Brother Brown said, now, like I was telling a lady this morning, when you go to fry your meat for breakfast and a big bunch of grease pops out in your hand, the first thing you do, it just scares you to death. You grab your hand and say, where's the unguentine? You know, that was a pain reliever that we used to have. Just as quick as you can. That's the reason it burns you. That's what makes the scare is what, I can prove that. It's the scare that burns you. You got the Holy Ghost, it's operating in your body. Well, when that old snake grabbed a hold on Paul's hand, there was not a bit of scare. He looked at it, shook it off into the fire, and went on and got some more sticks. It didn't scare him, see? If you're not scared, Jesus said, why did you fear? And Peter coming on the water, walking on the water, doing fine until he seen the waves were contrary. Then he got scared and began to sink. And Jesus come, he picked him up, he said, why did you fear? Oh, ye of little faith. Fear. You're scared it won't happen. Don't have one bit of fear. Move forward. God says so. That settles it. You can't do that until you have perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. If I want to contribute anything to my success in the ministry amongst people is this. I'll admit I've had to butcher up meetings because I just couldn't set it and routine like ministers do. And many times I've had to promise this and take this back and do this and do that because God will make me do it. But if there's one thing, is because that I have loved people. And people knows that. You can take a baby 3 months old and he don't know nothing. He's got a mind, but it isn't developed. He don't know who or nothing. And the doctor says that he can see light, might see your hand, but they can only follow it. And he will just be kicking his little heels and screaming to the top of his voice. Well, here comes some kind woman, comes along passing him and says, well, well, dear, and he just kicks right on. He don't know who that woman is. He don't know nobody. But let that mother walk up, just put her hands on him, that settles it. Now, he don't know his mother, but his little spirit knows there's something about that spirit there that nothing else can inject that mother's love to him, no matter how much that other person's love. Or that other person loves. It ain't the mother's love, is that right? And she lays her hands on him, and he will dry up. See, he's ready. Because that mother, there's a love about her that goes to that baby, that the baby's little spirit recognizes that that's a love that no other love is. No wonder he ordained us to lay hands on the sick. Take a horse, when he's all bothered, jumping and jerking, you Western people ought to know this, and you just let the master walk into the stall and probably say, whoa boy, and lay his hands on him, he quiets down. See? It's love. And when we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and we love one another as ourselves, our neighbors as ourselves, the people can actually feel that. You can't put that on. You can't make a belief because they'll know it. I believe Lincoln said one time, you can fool part of the people part of the time, but not all the people all the time. And that's right. And if you've got love in your heart for the people, they'll know it. You might act indifferent or anything, but still they know it. They can feel it. It's another dimension, as we call it, that injects to these people a love that they know it. And they'll believe it. And that's when you can help the person when you believe it. Now that's what we need today in Phoenix, like all the rest of the world and in our American cities, that where we have become so indifferent towards God. And the reason we've become so indifferent toward God is because we're indifferent toward one another, see? When we get one in one accord, then God comes down, see? When we were in Africa and India and many of the islands and so forth, and notice there, just one simple little miracle, the people this afternoon or any other place, look, that was very wonderful. We praise the Lord for that. Walk right back home with the same indifference. You see? In other words, people here, you know, it's like a show. Oh, that was good. But they go home the same person. Over there, The ministry of the word brought churches together, 8 churches that wouldn't even talk to each other. And after that, a month later, they went out and they had a joint revival in the town, all of them cooperating. And some woman in the village, or in the town, because it's a pretty big town, woman in the town who had not been out of bed for 2 years, she was raised up out of that bed. So you see what God can do when the people, one accord, when the people love each other. But let that happen one time among the heathen, and the whole country will come back to God. Every one of them will sweep right down into the kingdom of God right then. They bleed because they're humble. And now that's what we've got to do now. Let's just break down all the differences everywhere and just get ourselves. Now, you just can't put it on. It's got to come from the inside. You remember the Holy Spirit knows it. Whether it's coming from the inside, let's just get all the differences away, walk right out and say, I love the Lord and I love even my enemies. Don't never, and if anyone says anything about you, don't let that bother you at all. Don't mar that wonderful feeling till God. Just go ahead. Love them anyhow. Amen. What good does it going to do anyhow for you to get all peeved up about things? Just love them anyhow. Love everybody. Because they're the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether they're sinners or saints, and then you'll be able to win them to God, because they'll realize that you really do love them. See? That's what we need today. Don't you think so? Yes, sir. A man can come to me here. Not long ago, a very fine man. He said, Brother Branham, I come to ask you how to get saved. He said, I've been trying for several years to get saved. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, there was a very prominent speaker, Mr. Billy Graham, said, do you know him? And I said, I know him. I said, a very fine man. He said, well, I went to his meeting and he said, all that wanted to accept Christ and be saved, raise up their hands. I said, Brother Branham, I raised up my hand just as high as I could. Said, I stood up and they had prayer for me and said, wasn't nothing different. And said, then I went down to a place where they had an old-fashioned tent meeting called Old Time Religion. And said, they told me that I had to get happy enough to shout. And said, I prayed in there till I shouted. He said, but when I come back out, I was crying and shouting, but he said, it didn't help me. He said, I went to another prominent man's meeting, and which we're all acquainted with, and said, he told me that I'd have to stay in there until I got happy and shout and spoke in tongues. And said, I did, but said, it didn't help me. He said, what do you say? And I said, well, brother, every one of them told you truth. Every one, that's right. I said, you believe you can raise up your hands, accept Christ, get happy, shout, and speak in tongues? All those things I believe is the truth. But brother, that's not what you're after. You see, you're after the accepting of Christ. The accepting of Christ isn't raising up your hand or these things. It's accepting a person into your heart, and then the attributes comes out. First, get things first. Christ in the heart, and it'll bear record. And I said, like smoking, drinking, gambling, committing adultery, those things are not sin. Then I said that one night, and a good old Methodist mother raised up, and I said, it's no sin to drink, no sin to smoke and gamble. She raised up. She said, then preacher, would you please tell me what sin is? And I said, it's unbelief. That's right. I said, the reason you drink, smoke, and carry on like that is because you're an unbeliever. That's the attribute of unbelief causes that. If you are a Christian, you don't do it. And just because you quit drinking, smoking, chewing, and committing adultery, that doesn't make you a Christian. You can do that yourself. That's right. All right. But the main thing is accepting the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then it'll bring forth its fruit. Now here's the thing we need to understand. The Scripture tells us that God is love. In 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So here's the thing. We always quote, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Right? Well, God is love. So it's not this ornery, cantankerous religious spirit that casts out everybody that's not walking with you in the light, in the doctrine, in the theology. You see? It's walking in love. God is love. In Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for the mercy for who? For yourself and for others. Somebody say something that offends you, say, Father, would you please forgive him? I'm sure he didn't mean that. Jesus, with nails sticking in his hands and his feet, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So when somebody says something that hurts your feelings, is that the same as this? No. We had a saying when I was a kid, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. When I die, you'll cry for all the names you called me. You remember that? It's a child's saying, but it's a truism. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 4 and verse 8, He that loveth not, here it is, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So I don't care how much wisdom you have of the Scriptures. You know, He said, you could give your body to be burned and don't have love. What's it going to do you? He said, you know, you could, there's a whole bunch of things you could do. What does that have to do with anything? Do you have that perfect love? Because without it, you're not going. You're not going to enter that place. Like Brother Brown said, you're going to be, if you could somehow get in there, you're going to be so out of place, you wouldn't like to be there anyway. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you be in so particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, if it's commanded in the marriage to do so, what about enemies? You know, in marriage, you know, you promise to love through good times and bad, through sickness and in health and all those other things, you know. That's why you can scratch somebody's back after they just had an argument. You know, it's because that's what love is. Brother Vail went to Brother Branham and said, I don't have that love. Brother Branham said, yes, you do, Brother Lee. He said, well, I just don't see it. He said, well, do things for people because of Christ? He said, yeah. He said, that's what love is. You see, love is doing. Always in the Scripture, love is giving. It's always giving. Because it's God. Eternal life is living for others. Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. In 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now why is it that when we have a great desire in our heart, it's a burning desire in your heart, it might be a lifelong desire in your heart, you think God's going to just hold that out like a carrot out in front of the horse and not let you have that thing? What kind of a God do you believe He is? Is He the old mean God that of the Old Testament, you know, that the Catholics pervade? God is angry, but Jesus is compassionate. Come on. Jesus was the expression of God. Love is the evidence of God's life for every seed. For every seed must bring forth after its kind or nature, and God is love. So if God is love, and if the spoken word, which was Jesus Christ, is the original seed, and Brother Branham said, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, if you have the seed of God in you, it'll bring forth Son of God's seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God's seed. So if Son of God gave Himself, so loved the world. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And the Son said, okay, Dad, I love Him too. Then isn't that going to be expressed in your life? 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You love not because you know not God. And you know not the Son of God. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and spirit of error. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now we don't throw those out. You know, the problem is that we have the parable of the 10 silver coins, and we know that Brother Brown said that the nine fruits of the Spirit were the nine coins that she had. But she was missing that 10th coin, which was doctrine. But the problem is that they've all thrown out the nine gifts of the Spirit and they're holding on to the doctrine. So they got rid of nine coins so they could hold on to one. It doesn't make any sense. You've got to have all of them.
Amen.
All 10. And love is always corrective. But not in a hard and nasty way. Love is an instructive correction. Instructive correction. That's not the same as yelling and shouting and screaming and berating. It's instructive. Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind and of one accord. The same love. 1 Peter 3 and 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And love, you know, works and produces fruit. Galatians 5 and 6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So that which motivates your faith is love. It worketh by love. Love is the out expression of faith. There's faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because faith is a revelation. Hope is an earnest expectation that it's that energy that comes from the faith. And love is the outworking of that. Let me just read you a couple of scriptures here. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now the word of is an acronym. It actually means out from or has association with. So remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Your work which has been produced or characterized by the faith which is yours. That's the Weiss translation. And your labor of love. Your labor which has been produced or characterized by your love. And your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So it's your work is motivated by the love you have. A guy loves a girl and he starts giving her candy, he starts giving her flowers, because it's motivated by that love. It's an expression, you see? So love produces a fruit. Faith worketh by love. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints. Your expression. You see, always in Scripture, love is giving. For God so loved the world, He gave. It's expressed in giving. Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness of mind, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Why do you forbear? Love. That's it. You don't forbear because it's your duty. That gets old after a while. You forbear because you love. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head in Christ. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying, that means the building up of itself in love. How do you build something up if you're always cutting it down? Building up. How and why? Its motive is love. Hebrews verse 6 and 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, your labor expressed through love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, we're good at provoking the wrong way, but provoking into love. We had, years ago, we had a couple families that spat all the time. Two sisters in the church spat all the time with each other. And one sister said, how do I get past that? I said, why don't you send her some flowers? Well, she started sending her flowers and doing some things, and pretty soon they got along pretty good. You see? It's like the woman, she said, I don't love my husband anymore, Brother Branham. He said, well, he said, now will you take my advice if I give it to you? She said, yes. He said, start acting like you do. He said, when he gets home from work, fix him the foods that he likes, dress the way he likes you to dress, be pleasant to him, do those things. And watch what happened. 6 weeks later, she came back. She says, I'm in love with my husband. He said, well, tell me about it. She said, well, I started doing kind things to him. He started doing kind things to me. There's a sister in Minneapolis years ago. Her husband had become a paraplegic. He couldn't walk. He used to love football and things, and he still liked to watch it and stuff. But the pastor up there would tell him that, you know, he told her, well, you know, you can't kick the television out of your house because, you know, he's your husband. But he said, you don't have to be in the room when he's watching TV. Well, that just tore their marriage apart. One day I sat and I said, look, if you want my advice, I said, if you don't want to watch the TV with him, I said, you know, when he's watching his football games, I said, just rub his feet or something. You know, he's a paraplegic. He had, you know, very little, movement in his legs and stuff. I said, just massage his feet, do it when he's watching his football games. And, you know, that brought their marriage back together. Something that simple. He says, kind acts generate kindness. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and continue to minister. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. 2 Thessalonians 3:15, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Two things. Direct your hearts into the love of God first, then into the patient waiting. Philemon 1:5, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Because as I said, don't just love in word. Don't talk it. Walk it. Like Brother Brown said, don't preach me a sermon, live it. Now, love is never feigned. Love is not pretentious. Love is not put on. Someone says, "Why, I love you," and then go out and do something against you. That's not love. Love is not words, as Paul said. It's not in words, but it's in deed. 2 Corinthians 8:8 says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. 2 Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. You see, love is based on faith and knowledge of God and His Son, because that's the attribute of God. God is love. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Mark 12:33, and to love him with all thine heart, with all thine understanding, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Love God and love your neighbor. Revelation 2:4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That's what happened to Ephesians. That's why they backslid. They had the doctrine. Whoa. But they didn't have love. They lost their first love. You see? Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Ephesians 6:23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts with faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Oh, I thought it was being rooted and grounded in the Godhead. It's rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But notice, he's called us. It says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And if sons, then heirs, and joint heirs with Christ. Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, in other words, it all comes together. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. James 2:5, hearken, my brethren, beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? God wants just one thing from you. Love. To love him with your whole heart, with your mind, with your soul. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The crown of life. In return for what? Your love. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. I love his appearing. I'm so glad he's here. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then, what's the purpose? To love one another. In 2 John 1 and 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. That's the commandment. Jesus said all the commandments of God are summed up in he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and to love one another. That's it. That fulfills all God's commandments. 1 John 4:21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. 1 John 4:20, if a man say that I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love his God whom he hath not seen? In 1 John 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In other words, pass it on. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I'm going to read that again. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Luke 6:32, for if you love them which love you, what thank you have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. 1 Thessalonians 4:19, I didn't say just, you know, love certain ones. He said, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. All men. So my brother answered, what was so effective about his ministry was his love for the people. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye know that I need not write unto you, for ye yourselves are also taught of God to love one another. And James 2:8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Therefore, love is pure, love is sincere, love is genuine, and love is never feigned, it's never put on. And 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee those things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And love is self-sacrificial in nature. In 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 2 Corinthians 12:15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Why is that? Why is it that when you more abundantly love, people seem to less abundantly love you? Well, unless they have the same love. You see, the more you give, many times, like the United States is the most giving nation on earth individually. I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about the people. And they give to more places, more things around the world, more missions and everything else. And they're the most despised and hated people on earth, too. Why? It's jealousy. That's all I can say. Unless they have the same love to reciprocate and to help others, it becomes a thing of jealousy for them. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as Christ loved the church. First John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. Now, you all know when Brother Vail talked to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham said, you know, that love was actually the setting aside of your own personal ambitions and whatever, and doing for Christ. Well, we express our love by our obedience to God and our obedience to his word. In 2 John 1:6, it says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is a commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. 2 John 1:3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby know we that we are in him. All right, then you must have the right kind of love. In 1 John 2:15, he said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So it's, where is your love directed? Your love should be directed to God, his word, his people. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Mark 12:38, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. In other words, what's your love based on? 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So love made perfect, and perfect love, as we mentioned, has no fear. That is how we can test whether we have perfect love from God or not. Do you have fear? Are you afraid of things? Are you afraid your prayers won't be answered? Are you afraid that maybe God just wants to punish you for some thing that you did some time ago, and you know, just don't realize, well, what did I do that God keeps punishing me? That's not it. If you remember when we preached on the garden of your mind, all those seeds in there, you water those seeds, that's what's going to come out. You don't have a test just so that God can put you on the whipping post and whip you. God gives you a test in order for you to prove your position, your stature, your nature. In other words, we don't test the first grader with 12th grade equivalency. We test them, we give them the material first, then we test them to make sure that's where they're at. And when you get a test and you flunk the test, you flunk it if you think that the test is because of an outside influence coming against you. But when you have the test and you realize this is something to show within me, what God is working in me, you'll pass the test. Because you're not looking at the test as something against you. You're looking at the test as something to help you. You understand? All right. There is no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if you have fear, you better get yourself some love. And the love of God. What it is Brother Brown said, you don't have the right kind of fear. I mean, you don't have the right kind of love for God if you have fear. So that's where you need to start. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect. Here it is. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. when you recognize the relationship that the Father had with the Son, and that relationship is for you also, that's when you have boldness. That's when you have love. That's when you no longer have fear. That's when you no longer have to worry about the preacher, about him holding you over the flames of hell, because you know that you have a relationship with your Father. And in 1 John 4 and 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. You know, when I fell in love with my wife, it came against the doctrine of the local church up there. They had a few sisters in the church picked out for me, of which none of them met my qualifications. But when I met my wife, I came back and I said, I met the perfect woman. And she's perfect. And they said, nobody's perfect. And I said, well, she is. She's perfect. And so anyway, in the course of this, some of these sisters got angry. And of course, they went to the pastor. And the pastor told me I didn't have the Holy Ghost. So I spent between the 10:30 service that got over at noon and the evening service that started at 7 o'clock, I spent the entire time at the altar on my knees praying to God. And when I got up, I knew I had the Holy Ghost, and I knew the pastor didn't. And I was no longer had any fear. And I'll never be afraid of any man ever again, because I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I have certainty of my relationship with my Father, and I know my wife is perfect. Because that's right. In my eyes, she is. A better woman than I am a man. From the message Oneness, Brother Branham said, what is it? You've got to get with the Word. Get yourself killed out. I'm persuaded that many of us, friends, have received the Holy Ghost, but we just received enough Holy Ghost in us to make us to a place where we don't want to lie, we don't want to steal, we don't want to do anything. But God wants to fill every fiber of His church. He wants to fill your thinking, He wants to fill your mind, He wants to fill every bit of you, just make you completely, totally dead to yourself or to your thinking, just so surrendered in God till His Word's just living right through you. You don't know anything else but God's Word. Just stay right in His Word. It is life. My words are life, said Jesus. He placed with them teachers, believe in the Bible, prophets that says the truth, that say show the same prophecy that they've always did down through the ages. What's He done? He's showing Himself alive among us, confirming His Word. His Word, the kingdom of God, is God's Word made power. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for Your Word. We're thankful, Father, to understand that only perfect love will enter that place. And so we know that God is love. And therefore, we know that if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, which we know is God, if it dwells in us, it will quicken these mortal bodies. Hallelujah. Bring us to life. Bring us to love. Then, Father, we pray that You'd help us to empty out, that You might fill us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine toward you.